Thank you once again. Happy New Year's once again. You open your Bibles once again to Genesis chapter 1. I want to talk to you about in the beginning. One thing that you'll find, and maybe you've never tried this, I want to apologize if you hear that little popping noise. I think that the microphone on this pulpit is not quite centered right, and so I'll try not to whack this pulpit too many times. I think that it's a little. Actually, why don't you turn it down just a little bit? Just slide the slider down a little bit, dear. And it'll be less noisy. One of the great things about reading a different version of the Bible is that you'll actually have to read it. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, what does that mean? When you get used to reading one version, you have a tendency to skip it. And if you've listened to me enough, you've heard me do that quite a lot. I'm a good paraphraser of the King James, and so you'll notice that I have to actually read now because with a different version, you actually have to pay attention to what's there, and so I'll actually have to read more, and so you'll find that. And so I would encourage you, if you've always read one version of the Bible, to get a different version, just at least for reading. If it doesn't do anything else, it'll make you read the Bible, and you might actually see something that you didn't see before. And so I generally read, just so you know, I generally read, for study purposes, I generally read 4 or 5 different versions all the time. So that's not unusual for me. You may not have the opportunity to do that. I have a computer program that allows me to read all of those at one time. They're all on the screen all at one time. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning. And why new beginning? Why in the beginning? Well, it's first of the year, and typically you'll find that for pastors and lots of preachers, we like to talk about New Year's resolutions. Many people make New Year's resolutions, and you like to think about the new year as a new, fresh start. That's what we talk about, and you know, we always think about out with the old and in with the new, and we get a fresh start, and all the things that happened in 2015 are gone, and so here's 2016, and we get to start all over. Everything is new. Well, I got news for you. As much as that is great and fine and dandy, a lot of things that happened in 2015 just followed you right into 2016. Oh, you didn't want to hear that, but it's true, because you're still here. Okay, let me say that again, just so it'll sink in a little bit. You're still here, and so, you know, you can put your hand up all you want, but you're still here. And so you came into 2016, and so most of the things that you caused problems with in 2015, you're still probably causing in 2016. It's only 3 days old, but just think about that now. The attitude you had in 2015 is probably still the same attitude you had in 2016. Okay, I'll just put that in there for a minute. So if you were grumpy in 2015, you probably were already grumpy at least once in 2016. Me, okay, I'll just admit it. All right, I'll just throw it out there. Just throw it on the table. Let's just get it out there. It's 3 days old. There's no sense of hiding it, right? Oh, I know, you're all just so righteous. None of you have been grumpy yet. So what's the new beginning all about? Because if it's a new beginning, how do we make things new? Well, the great thing about a new beginning is that we can let God deal with everything in our life. That's what we need to do. If you want the new beginning, you have to get out of the way. I want you to see a couple things. And I read two pieces out of Genesis chapter 1. And you could read the entire scope of Genesis chapter 1. Most all of us know the story of Genesis chapter 1 and the creation story. But what I want you to really see is really just the first verse. And that is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I really only want you to see in the beginning, because that's really what you need to understand. That in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. What did God do? In the beginning, God created. What did God create in the beginning? Well, God created all kinds of things, but ultimately God created, that we found out down in verse 25, 6, 7, 8, 9, God created you. And God created you, as we found out in Sunday school, to have a relationship with you. That's what this is about right here. See, in the beginning, isn't it interesting that in the beginning, God created everything before He created man? Have you ever really thought about that? That in the beginning, when God created, God didn't create man first. Have you ever really paid attention to the creation story? That God created, the earth was without form and void, and that God created, well, God created light, and He separated it from the darkness. And that we can look at as a metaphor for sin, good and evil. John tells us in John chapter 1 that when Jesus came into the world, He became the light of the world. And that light came into the world to give us the light in the darkness. Now think about that. That all the way up to the time that before Jesus Christ came into the world was in darkness, but yet God created light and separated it from the darkness. So if that happened, then Jesus came, well, that kind of seems kind of weird, doesn't it? The world had been living in darkness all this time until Jesus came into the world. Because the world was living in spiritual darkness. Are you living in spiritual darkness? For many Christians today, for many people today, for many of us, we are living in spiritual darkness. And you may say to yourself, but I'm a Christian, I've already accepted Christ, so I'm not living in spiritual darkness. But are you? What does your relationship with Christ look like? Well, you have Christ in your life, but do you have a relationship with Him? Let me illustrate that for you. I can give you the illustration. I know this is going to be terrible, but I'm going to use me as the object of the illustration. I could use any one of you, I'm sure. But I use me because then I don't have to embarrass you. But I have lived right next door to people who I have never talked to. Well, let me back that up. I've lived right next door to people who I've talked to, who I know their name, but that's all I know. And I've lived next to them for years. And I can tell people that I know who they are, but I don't know them. I have no relationship with them. But when people come and say, do you know so-and-so? I say, sure, I know so-and-so. But I have no relationship with them. But yet I live right next door to them. Right next door to them. and I've lived right next door to them for years and years and years, and yet I can't tell you anything about them. And for many of you, you have Jesus Christ in your heart, and that's all you know about Christ, is you have Jesus Christ in your heart. And you can't say anything else about Christ. You're living in spiritual darkness. In the beginning, God separated the light and the darkness. You know, it's interesting because the next thing that he did is that he separated, it tells us down in verse 9, he said, in verse 6, he said, let there be an expanse between the waters. He separated water from water. And that's like a canopy. You put a canopy, like a greenhouse effect. He put a greenhouse effect there. He put water above, and there was still water below, and so you have this greenhouse effect going on. And then the next thing he does is he creates dry land, seas and dry ground on day 3. And then day 4, he creates a light, the moon and the stars, and he creates the moon and the stars so that we have days and seasons and so forth. Well, when he created the dry land, he created vegetation. And you know, isn't that interesting that when he created the vegetation that we don't even have the sun and the moon and the stars yet? You think about that? That kind of goes against all knowledge, doesn't it? You think about it, trees and grass and all that, doesn't it? That needs the sun to grow, doesn't it? But yet God created it before he ever created the sun. See, because God creates things how he wants to create things, and we think that we're so important that we have to be here, but yet when God gets to the point of man, man is last. And I want you to know something about how God created you. I want you to know something about how God created you. God spoke everything into existence. But when you get over to chapter 2, if you go over to chapter 2, I believe it's in verse 7. Of Genesis. It says in verse 7, and the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground. That's personal touch. You know, everything else, God spoke into existence. God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said. And then when it came to man, he did what? He reached down and he made you. He made man in his own image, number one. He didn't just speak it. He made it in his own image, in his own likeness. He made you to look like him, to resemble him, to be like him. And then he did it in a personal touch. And then, what does verse 7 say? And then he breathed life into you. He put his own essence into you. Why did God go to all that trouble? Because he loved you and me. Because he wanted a relationship with every single person. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. Here's the thing. In the beginning, when God created, in the beginning, when God was thinking of these things, in the beginning, when God was thinking on all of these things, in the beginning, when God was looking at all of this stuff, in that beginning, God was already looking at this right here. In the beginning, God was already looking
at the cross. In the beginning, God was already looking at John chapter 1, verse 1, that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, God was already looking to His Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the beginning, God was looking at the cross. In the beginning, God was looking at the broken relationship of Adam and Eve in the garden. In the beginning, God already knew that His Son was going to have to die. In the beginning, God already knew the relationship was going to be broken. In the beginning, God already knew that He was going to have to pay that penalty for you and for me. In the beginning, He already knew that we were going to come short of the glory of God. You ask yourself in the beginning of 2016, what is the difference about 2016 and 2015? I say the difference is in the beginning that God makes the difference. And you can make a difference by determining in your heart the kind of relationship that you will have with God. What kind of relationship would you have with God? You know, it's difficult. It's difficult for me teaching Sunday school and pastoring and preaching to not mix the preaching in Sunday school. Those of you that are in Sunday school can understand that, because lots of things in Sunday school easily mix with the preaching. And those of you that are not coming to Sunday school are missing out, because then you don't understand some of the context of what I give you when I preach to you. So I highly encourage you to come to Sunday school, then you get all the context of all of those things. That's a plug for Sunday school. Those of you that are teaching Sunday school, you're right where you're supposed to be. But here's what I want you to hear. We're studying the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, and rebuilding the walls. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, which is what we're studying, it says that Ezra determined in his heart to study the Word of God, to obey it and to teach it to everyone. I paraphrase the end of that. But you read Ezra chapter 7. Now, I have time to give you the rest of the context. You missed Sunday school this morning. Get the recording. Come to Sunday school next week. We're going to continue that discussion on chapter 10. But here's what I want you to hear about in the beginning in the context of that verse. You need to determine in your heart whether or not you want to have that relationship with God. You need to determine that. No one else can determine that for you. See, the wonderful thing about in the beginning is it's all about you. This is one of those opportunities where it's all about you. This is what our generation is about today. Our generation is about me. Well, no, it's about you. It's an individual generation. It's the I generation. That's why it's an iPhone. Did you ever think about that? It's not called an iPhone just because they wanted to call it an iPhone. It's an iPhone because it's about I.
Y'all heard that phrase, there's no team, there's no I in team? Yeah, that's not true anymore. Because it is all about I. That's what this generation's all about. It's about I. What can I get? What can I have? What can I? Well, I got news for you. There is one place where I matters. And I matters with your relationship with God.
Amen.
Because the only person that can get the relationship with God correct is you and God. Your mother can't get it right. Your father can't get it right. Your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, your girlfriend. Nobody can get you and God are only the ones that can get the relationship right. And as I said in Sunday school this morning, church doesn't even get your relationship right. Now, don't misunderstand that concept. It doesn't mean that you just skip church. Church is important in your life. But if you are not spending time in the Word of God for yourself, then you have no relationship with God. And if you want the in the beginning of 2016 to be right, then that relationship starts now with you and God. And that's the in the beginning you need. You can make all the resolutions you want, and you can make all the whatevers you want, and the I wills and the I who vows and whatever you want to make, and you can do whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you right now, if you don't make the I will be determined to follow God, then you have got a big problem, and the in the beginning will not matter at all for you. And you need to be like Ezra and determine in your heart to follow God. Obey it and teach it. In the beginning, God created you for a relationship with Him. What does your relationship with Him look like? What does it look like?
It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter wherever you are in your walk with God right now. What does your relationship with God look like? It doesn't matter what it was in 2015. And it doesn't matter what it was 20 minutes ago. God is calling you right now to a right relationship with Him. I want to tell you what your problem is with your wrong relationship with God as we close. The problem with your wrong relationship with God is this. Is that the devil has convinced you that everything that you have done bad, you can't get rid of. That everything that has happened in your past, you have to hang on to. That you're too unworthy for God. That God can't use you because of how terrible you have been. Well, I got news for you. He's absolutely right. But that's why Jesus died on the cross for you. Because the Bible says that we are all unworthy. We were all unworthy. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But the love of God is why Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's why Christ died. And because of that, we can have eternal life. Because of that, we can have eternal life. Because of that, Jesus Christ has paid the price for all your sins already. And as Paul says, we look forward to the high calling of Christ. Stop looking behind and look forward. And if you're going to continually look at the past, then you're doomed already. We'd all be doomed. Jesus has already paid for all the past. He's actually paid for all your future, too. He has called you to come just as you are. Come just as you are. That's what he's asked for. That's the relationship, and he will build on that relationship. Because he has paid all the price. Your debt is paid. Stop listening to the devil. Stop listening to his lies. And start living your life free from all of that stuff. I asked the class this morning this question. What are you freed from? See, when Jesus came into your life, you have been freed. You're not fully free because he's paid for you, and so therefore you're indebted to him, but you are free. You're free from Satan. You're free from hell. You're free from sin. You're free from the world, and you're free from death. So start living like you're free from all of that stuff. You're free from all of that stuff. You're bound to Christ. You're his servant. Live like you're his servant, and you're free from all of the death stuff. But yet we live like we're still bound to the death stuff. And we're not living like we're freed in life. Where is your relationship with Christ today? Because in the beginning, when God created, he gave you that free relationship. And he's calling you to live in the beginning of that free relationship. In 2016, he's asking you to live in that free relationship. Will you give all of it to him? In 1 Peter, it says, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. Will you cast those cares upon him today? Our great Father God in heaven, we know that there are many today that are holding cares to themselves. They're just struggling with life today. That need to have a relationship with you. Lord, maybe there's some here today that just have no relationship with you because they don't even know you. Lord, if they've heard your word and heard your message, would they come? Would they fall on bended knee this morning? Crying out to you, saying, God, Father, I need that relationship with you this morning. I need to have that relationship beginning today and every day forward. Oh God, we thank you and praise you in your great precious name. Amen.